Welcome to This Is Your Afterlife, conversations with artists and activists about death and life. My name is Dave Marr. I'm a comedian. I live in Chicago. 9 years ago, I was in a coma and I woke up and immediately, first thing I did was start this podcast. Don't look it up. My guest this week is Maria Jacobson from the band and her music project, Fran. Fran's most recent album was called Leaving, and in the press release for Leaving, it mentions that Maria got really into these theology classes in the beginning of the pandemic during lockdown. That plus the fact that Maria has recently started a monthly podcast called Godless on beloved.wtf every fourth Sunday at 10 a.m. Central Time. You can hear Maria's show, Godless. And she asked people, do you believe in God? And I was like, that sounds like someone who is on my wavelength. I should have her on the show. And she was, and we had a really nice time. Her music is lovely, and it was great to get to chat with someone who is thinking about their life deeply in this way that I try to. Now, what you're about to get dropped into is a conversation about those theology classes. So just be aware of that. You can find links to Godless, to Maria's most recent album, to her Instagram, all in the show notes. And also in the show notes, you can go to Patreon. Patreon is a way to directly financially support this show, which does not have corporate backing, does not sell ads. And that would mean a lot to me. And you can get cool bonuses like the full convo. Every week I put out an extended version of the episode. This week you will hear Maria talk about Kairos. If you are a Catholic, you know what is up with Kairos. Even after listening to it, I still am not fully sure what's up with Kairos, but it was fascinating to hear about. And that is just one of the things we talk about in the full combo on Patreon. So it's $5 a month or $15 a month. The $15 a month patrons are the Pigeon patrons. They get shouted out every episode. They are G, Barry Fontenot, Shubha Singh, Fred Fidawa, Katie Llewellyn, and D. Bo. Thank you all. And if you would like to donate to Chicago Abortion Fund's Fundathon, especially if you're hearing this on the day it comes out or the week it comes out, this is the matching week. So if you donate anything to that link in the show notes to help people get abortions, you will be matched your contribution. It's about the number of donations as much as it is about the amount itself. So feel free to drop a dollar in there if you want. Genuinely, that would be amazing. And that is what I've got. The last thing I'll say is, and I apologize for getting to this at this point, but if you are listening to this on Godless, on the Beloved platform or in the Godless feed, whatever it is, thank you. That's amazing. I know that we're cross-posting this, and I think it's awesome that you listen to Maria's show. Feel free to check my show out. ThisIsYourAfterlife.com. You can find all the relevant links there. And I hope you dig it. And here it is. It's me and Maria Jacobson talking about shit, talking about religion classes, talking about the afterlife. Here we go.
And so then, it was a real moment of like grief, or like the pandemic, grief filled, like groping in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how have people made sense of this?
Right.
When things are taken away from you. And that was also, I guess that was also starting too with climate change. Like 2019, I was getting really upset about climate change.
Yeah.
And like to this like point of like, wake up everybody, like,
yeah,
what's going on, like, you're just at this patio, like, this like, we have 18 months and Donald Trump is our president, like, we're fucked. And kind of just carrying that around all the time, which is, or like, yeah, like, not being like, I can never fly again. I can never.
Right.
You know, it's like I need to orient my entire like music career around this, which is mm-hmm. unrealistic. So those two things kind of converging, the pandemic and climate change. Cause I was reading both like The Sixth Extinction by Elizabeth Colbert,
okay.
which is about like how we are in an extinction event.
Sure.
And talking about all the past extinction events.
Okay.
And then The Uninhabitable Earth, David Wallace Wells.
Okay.
You were leaning into the void.
Yeah, at the
because
beginning
I like
of...
needed to know everything.
Yeah.
So and it honestly like calmed my anxiety.
Totally. You know? I totally get that.
Yeah. And I think putting it in the context of all of the extinction events, putting our moment in that context of like just zooming out to the whole history of the planet.
Yeah.
That there was like randomly all these volcanoes went off over the long or some amount of time, and that created a big climate change event because it released all this greenhouse gases, and then that changed the face of the earth or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or like this big algae bloom happened because all of these, different elements came together. So there was like a huge algae bloom. All of the plants or all of the animals like died because there was no oxygen in the ocean or something, you know?
Okay.
Like there's just a lot of, and then of course dinosaurs and
right.
whatever, meteor.
So I don't feel like I even need to read the book at this
point.
There you go. You've basically.
yeah. So
it felt like you were like, it's like seeing the universe and realizing we're so small in it, but on a time scale, it sounds like.
Yeah. It was like zooming out and looking at what humans are in that tradition.
Yeah.
The Earth's tradition or something, you know, like for a while I was saying like, we're just like a volcano chain. You know, like mm-hmm. maybe this is how it's supposed to go, or so, you know, like we're just doing what we think we're supposed to be doing, just like volcanoes do what they're gonna do, or
interesting.
Like, you know, like maybe
there's something unchangeably destructive about us.
Yeah, yeah, for some reason, you know, that's like one way to look at it, or something. And then when you think about that, then you zoom out again and you're like, is someone pulling the string? Or is there something causing all of this? Is there like, what? Yeah. I don't know. It was just like this, like what's going on moment. And like, how are people making sense of this?
So where'd you take the classes from?
Online at Harvard. Or wait, Harvard? It was like, you can take all these free classes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Especially then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, I think it was at Harvard. And I just took two. Or I checked in on a few. But I took one that was just about how to study religion, basically.
Mm.
Which was really interesting.
Yeah.
That it's like, we can all come in with whatever faith tradition, but we can like see how we can put this into the context of what was going on when this was
made.
Or we can, you know, there's like tools we can use to examine this that aren't emotion based or like
sure.
that you can still do even if you're not the same religion
mm-hmm,
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked, I think I took a Christianity one and started a Buddhism one. And then was like reading this writer, Elaine Pagels, who is an amazing person, writer.
What's her big book? I know the name.
She like came on the scene
yeah.
with the Gnostic Gospels.
Okay.
She was like this sort of rabble rouser, like in a religious scholar, because she was writing about kind of like the Gnostic Gospels, which was these other gospels,
yeah,
that people
that
found
didn't get included in the official
canon,
yeah,
and to like the King James Bible or whatever,
right? Gospel of like Thomas, right?
Yeah, Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Truth. I think like there's okay. There's like a bunch of like really right. kind of trippy New Age, like Gospel of Mary, I think. Like,
okay, cool, Mary cool, Magdalene. Cool. Yeah,
yeah, and it was just like kind of offer this whole different thing. And that was like, oh, right. There's like this whole other story
mm-hmm.
if you mm-hmm. want it. And now, you know, there's like Gnostic Christians who,
sure,
you know, so there was like that. And then I also just read about her life. Like she wrote a book about her life.
She's still around?
Yeah, she's like, I think she teaches at Stanford or something, but she's okay. like pretty old.
Okay.
She wrote a book about her life because she like had two major grief events, like in a short, like her, she lost her husband and her son, like in a short time period. And so it was like talking about her like personal faith journey along with like her studies and her
yeah.
writings.
Cause at this point, as you're taking these courses, is this feeling more like intellectual exercise, or is it starting to resonate with you on a like belief level?
It was like, I would say it's somewhere in between. Like okay. I was still kind of gathering information about like how have people done this.
Was there an end point that you imagined? Were you like,
I
want an answer?
No.
Okay. That's mature of you.
Yeah, I don't think so. I didn't expect to come out like a Gnostic Christian or anything.
Sure,
like,
sure, sure.
I wasn't looking for a religion.
You just wanted an increase of meaning in your life.
Yeah, and like partially, and like it was also just, yeah, intellectually the first time that I had been like really stimulated by
yeah.
something in a yeah. long time, probably since college. But like, so that was like, oh, this feels like the right path regardless of where it exactly ends up. But
yeah.
Yeah, so I like thought, I mean, I'm still considering it, but I was like thinking about divinity school or like chaplaincy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's still kind of on the table, or like,
just because that's what you like studying.
That's what I like studying. And also like I want to, I mean, that's also why I started this podcast finally, which I've been thinking about for like years.
Yeah.
Because I actually just want to, I think the most interesting thing is just the people's stories with their faith.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, there's just so many questions that like more and more questions come mm-hmm. and that's cool. But like for the first time, and especially during the pandemic when I was like, yeah, grasping for meaning and stability, it was like a vocation. It like, it gave me something to do
yeah.
to wake up and like go to
right.
my online class yeah. and like, or read this book.
Were there live aspects or was it all like video lesson?
It was archived.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was like, it was like professors at
yeah.
school was like
yeah, yeah.
talking and whatever.
Totally.
yeah. So that's kind of where I landed. And I continue to be interested. I think what I'm like most interested in intellectually is like, or just like reading stuff, is like these offshoots of Christianity. Like
Gnostic Christianity.
Gnostic Christianity or like just the different, like why did Catholicism come to be what it was? It was basically because one guy was like, no, this, that's not canon. Like, okay, the, you know, okay. like it was the, I think Irenaeus, was his, he was the bishop, okay. Pope or something. He was like,
Irenaeus is a fucking gross twit nickname or name. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a gross name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was, yeah. And it's like, it's just, it's really fascinating. And I, because also like Catholics were being killed for a long time. Like they were being killed in the Colosseums and, and then the other, then the Gnostic people were being killed. Like, it's like,
yeah,
there's so much. It's fascinating.
It sounds like you're interested in the way and the fact that people have shaped these beliefs that are supposed to just be like supernatural.
Yeah.
And come to us from anywhere, you know, supposed to be like pure and without human intervention. Mm-hmm. But they're just, they have the fingerprints of people all over them.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that, then now there's like this whole tradition where we're like the Bible.
Right.
People are like, no, literally.
This is this God, is, but really it's fucking Irenaeus.
It's Irenaeus. That gross guy.
What do you hope happens when you die?
What do I hope happens when I die? To my body or like to my soul?
Yes.
Both. my body, I would like to be composted.
Okay.
Whatever that looks like.
Sure.
When I die. It would be cool if it was like kind of cute, you know, like mushroom
casket, suit. We've had whatever. The mushroom suit. Yeah.
Whatever. Or like, or not. Or if it's just like put in the ground and go for it.
Yeah.
I honestly haven't thought much about, or it's hard to think about like a funeral. I think I've only thought about it like now. Like if I died like now, you know, like,
okay.
In like some like weird bad thinking way, or like just like, where I'd be like imagining my friends now there, but I don't want to die now. So I can't imagine what it would be like later.
What are the things you imagine at the horrible now version?
Well, I just imagine everyone being really sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they'd play my music or talk about.
Is okay. That's always a curiosity of mine, is like how a creative person feels about their own work in relationship to their funeral. You're down with.
I would be down. I think that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like if friends like sang some songs.
But
I guess thinking about that now seemed like impossible. Like that'd be like so, too sad. Like people wouldn't
be able to do that or something. Yeah.
But yeah, say like I'm old and I'm
died
and that'd be sweet, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. My soul, I don't know what it would look like. Right now it like looks like all like heaven-y clouds and sunlight, but I think literally it would just be like the most pure relaxation.
Okay.
You know, like really not having any more worries, any more anxiety.
Okay. What are the physical, like embodied things on here that are like the most relaxing for you? Like if you populate that up in there, out there, down there, wherever we place this afterlife.
Yeah. It'll be in hell.
Because it comforts you to see other people suffering.
Yeah. I can only kind of relate it to things I've like seen or done. So I'll just maybe name a few. But like one was like I found this campsite in Taos on the Rio Grande. And like it was just this one other guy was there and he was like sitting just like reading. And we ended up kind of like that was he was like an older guy. It was kind of there was like ended up being like a weird dynamic, but I won't get into that. But at first,
it good was just, weird he, or bad weird?
Nah, bad no. bad weird. But no, but at first it was just like this. Yeah. Like it was just I pulled up and it was like this guy like on like sitting back reading on the Rio Grande, and like I just went and sat by the river basically, and yeah.
That sounds incredible.
It was really great. And it was, yeah, I felt like at peace and reading.
What were you reading? Do you remember?
No.
What was he reading? Hustler?
I don't know. Yeah.
Like, this guy just looks so peaceful.
Yeah.
Is that the weirdness vibe? He starts to like creep.
Yeah,
you?
No, it was like it because he was like, you know, in his 60s or 60 or something, and he just like came up and was like, "There's like this little path over here. Do you want to go on this hike?" And it was like a really nice,
sure,
nice guy, like just getting to know each other, talking. This was like 2 or 3 years ago, and then it, yeah, so then we. Like I was making, we were like hanging out kind of like at the campgrounds. I was making dinner and like having similar kinds of like spiritual conversations. And
you're saying this feels like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
To a T.
Good to know.
No, but yeah, but like deeper stuff. And then, he was going to Santa Fe the next day, or we were both going to Santa Fe the next day or something. And he was like, well, if you're in, we ended up in there at the same time, like, we can get lunch. I was like, yeah, it was all very innocent, felt very innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
He also like helped me put like stake my tent down because it was really windy when I first got there. And,
yeah.
Yeah. And then like I got there and he was like, oh, I already like left for Southern New Mexico. I think he said like, I figured you didn't want to see me anymore. Or something. And I was like,
this is, he like what? Texted you this?
Yeah. Okay. Cause we'd exchanged numbers to meet up.
Yeah.
And I was, it was just this weird, like, see you anymore. Like,
yeah.
What? And then it just kind of continued. Like I was on this road trip and he just would text me.
God damn.
Like, dude. Not like nothing lewd or anything, but just kind of like, what did you think? Because the whole thing was that, oh my God, I forgot about this. He was on an interlude from his wife. That's what he said. He was on an interlude from his wife. And we even talked about it. I was like, that seems like good that you can take space or something or whatever. But yeah, he was like, it was just kind of like really like thirsty, like, oh, should I? Like, I'm like, he would send, I don't know. It was, if we were both in the same kind of vicinity, it'd be like, oh, should I come back? Should I go meet you? Or I don't know. It's like, no.
Right.
You're like my dad's age.
Sure.
I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
You have a wife.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there, okay. So this is the kind of thing that would not exist in the relaxation of the afterlife.
He wouldn't be there. Or maybe he'd be there just.
Just no, actually helping
just
you
being a nice
stake
guy.
Down the tent.
Just being a nice guy and being a nice friend. Maybe I'd have like, I could probably choose someone else.
Sure. You know? Sure. Someone you know.
I know someone I like. But there is something nice about like, you know, people who you just meet in.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, totally. then that's nice because then, well, not in this case, but like, you don't feel like you owe them anything.
Right. But not that's in this why case. It's nice. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But is there something about like the, you know, is it fun to talk about? It's fun to hear about his part of that story.
Yeah.
Right. It was and it's like weird that like the most satisfying thing in the moment is like the most, I hope you know the way I mean this, like the most boring part, you know, mm-hmm. it's like hard to describe like,
yeah,
the peace, like to describe feeling peace is like three words. I felt peace and everyone kind of knows what you mean.
Yeah.
But they want to hear more about the creepy guy who was reading something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, because there's kind of, yeah, there really is nothing more to say.
Right.
In terms of like peace.
Is that a worry you have about this eventual fate of your soul that like it turns boring at any point?
No.
Okay.
Because I think that's the whole thing. If we're talking about like our ideal.
Yes.
Afterlife situation is like, I'm relaxed. And not bored and not overstimulated and not where it's just like, I can just chill.
Yeah.
Because as someone who like leans anxious, those are the times when I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like when I'm the most anxious.
Yeah.
It's like, this sucks. You know, like, what is the point of this? Like, why do I have, why, what, can't I just like see things how they are and like live? Why do I have to put this layer of,
oh, this sucks. Like not the being still sucks. The anxiety sucks.
Like my life sucks. No, no, like, yeah, that it's, so to me, heaven, afterlife, whatever, would be freedom from anxiety.
Some of the questions that shaped this podcast came from one of the one-man shows that I did. And in that, so that show is like set in the afterlife. It's like the lights go down. We're all in the afterlife. This is what it is. Surprise. Turns out it's this shitty little whatever X space we're in.
Yeah.
And one of the features of that afterlife is that you get to fully relive one memory. And it's just like a room you can pop into and out of whenever you want. But you have to choose just one that you inhabit particularly vividly. What would that memory be if all that were true?
I played a lot of basketball growing up.
Okay.
Came from a basketball.
You are taller than I thought you would be.
Yeah. Cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was on like traveling teams and whatever. My dad was like a coach. He coached me and everybody and... But it was just like really, we were just always playing basketball. And so I was, I think it was a traveling game. And I think it was like in the Western suburbs, or like it must have been because we ended up at Brookfield Zoo.
Okay.
But it was after like a tournament, which I, looking back on, never really enjoyed.
Really?
Yeah.
You liked basketball but didn't like tournaments.
Yeah, I liked basketball. Or I just, I like didn't, I don't think I loved basketball.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just played a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And like, because I was supposed to. And those environments were always so weird. Like away games, you're in like a weird other like gym you've never been in. And like a weird school you've never been in. All these people's parents are there. It's weird. It's just weird. It's like loud and it's like not, I wouldn't choose to hang out there.
Yeah.
It's like high anxiety. I wasn't the best I was like the second worst player on all like the good teams, you know, like I was like, I could play fine. I was like pretty good.
Sure.
But I wasn't aggressive. Like I was, you know, my heart wasn't in it.
Yeah. You're not like a shooter.
I'm a shooter.
You are a shooter.
I am a shooter. Okay. I'm not like a throwing bows. Like,
okay.
You know, or like really going for it.
Right.
I think I like shooting because it was like the one thing you can do that's like away from everyone
else.
Yeah.
You're a frail shooter.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Pretty much. Yeah, so we were like leaving the tournament, me and my dad were. And like...
How old are you?
Maybe 12
okay.
or 11 or something. Maybe 10. I don't know.
Maybe nine?
Maybe eight, seven, six. But I like didn't, my dad is a difficult person. We've had a difficult relationship at times. But a lot of like mostly like distance, fear kind of thing. Less like fighting with each other.
Sure.
So yeah, not, it was hard to feel close to him. And he was like, it was raining and he was like, we were by Brookfield Zoo. He's like, do you want to, should we go to the zoo? And I was like, oh, it's raining. He's like, we'll just get umbrellas. Like, so we went to the zoo store and got like umbrellas with like panda umbrellas or whatever. Yeah. And like walked around in ponchos and walked around the zoo. And it was like, yeah, it was kind of, it was so spontaneous and so like unexpected from him and like, again, peaceful or coming from a place where I didn't really want to be, anxiety. And then just to be like, oh, we can just hang out and walk around.
Have you talked to him about it?
No, I don't think so. Maybe.
Is it, did you talk about anything during, like, do you remember?
I don't remember. I remember it just feeling like fun and easy, which it didn't always feel.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Would he do that occasionally, or is this like the one big moment you remember?
It was definitely harder to find. It was okay. It was with him. It was hard to find moments that didn't feel like I was like, we're playing a game. Everyone come downstairs. We're playing a game. Or like, we're going here. We're gonna have fun. We're gonna go in here.
Plan.
Yeah, we're going here. So maybe it was like, you know, like, let's do this. And it wasn't like a command, you know,
right.
something or, and I don't remember how it like we decided to go or whatever, but also that it was raining. It was just like, nobody was really there. It was like,
yeah,
it was very serene and. Yeah, and like zoos are zoos, but like it was, you know, it was like I struggle now to find those kinds of moments in my life, I guess, you know, where it's like, let's just do that. Oh, yeah, why not? I was like, I'm always like, no, I should be like,
okay, so you
editing
have...
my podcast right now.
Yeah.
No, I need to get home and do this, or, you know, like, I can't go on a walk right now. I have to sit here and worry about something else, you know? So yeah, it keeps coming back to that, like free from worry.
Yeah.
You know?
What's your coma? And by that, I just mean a moment of transformation where before you're one version of yourself and after you're another. One of mine was a literal coma, but starting jobs, ending relationships, moving, what, there's so many,
right?
And whichever one is like a transformation that's been on your mind, like really presently, recently, is what I'm curious about.
The one that's present on my mind right now, which I'm not on the other side of, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Right. You told me that you were on call to shave her head.
Yeah.
And you did?
No. So she was kind of holding out for as long as she could. Because
she's been going through chemo. Has she been losing her hair?
She's been losing her hair, but okay. It's still looks pretty normal.
Yeah.
And she isn't like of the ilk who's like, woo, cancer warrior, second it falls out, shave it, you know? So it was hard to schedule. I have stuff I'm doing. I don't have a normal schedule,
Right.
So I don't have all my nights free. And so we were going to do it. And then I just gave her the clippers and was like, this is how you use them. And then if you want to do it and I'm free that night or whatever, I'll come do it. But
yeah,
but she seemed fine with that. I think I also had built it up more in my head, which probably a lot of people with loved ones with cancer do, which is she's freaking out about this. She's so scared about this.
Right.
Oh my God. This is just going to just ruin her or something. But she seemed, we finally talked about it and it was she seemed pretty lucid and open about it. And just I want to hold out for as long as I can and then we'll do it and, or whatever, So more just logistics as opposed to this big emotional.
You still don't have a sense of existentially how she's feeling.
I do to a certain extent because of all of, I shouldn't even qualify it, but I have been really struggling with it in a way that I didn't really expect because the prognosis is good. Things are, she has really good care.
Yeah.
The year is set. It's a high survival rate, whatever.
Okay.
But I still, it is kind of this coma moment or something where it's my whole life with her is flashing before me a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Is it, yeah. How does that play out every day?
Well, it varies. Well, I guess to answer your other question about my mom, she is a Catholic and she has really strong faith and and is taking this sort of what I would describe as a stoic, stance where it's she's I'm so lucky. I have it so much better than other people. And that's where she's finding, through gratitude and, blessings and knowing that, kind of looking at all these different ways of looking at it. It's looking at the positives or and so for me on a bad day it just feels a little disassociative or what is all of this? What is everybody doing? Similar to how I was feeling during the pandemic.
Okay. I thought you were going to say with climate change.
With climate
where
change.
There's screaming tea kettle inside you or something.
Less a scream.
Yeah.
more just like a discomfort or like a, I'm not into this feeling.
Sure.
I also work at a bar downtown at a hotel, and like I just like it is like disassociation city there. It's just like, what is going on with us? Like, ugh, yikes.
Yeah. Just people you can't relate to at all.
Yeah, because it's all, it's like tourists and there's like a bunch of TVs. So it's just like, what are the people talking about on TV? And why do they look like that? And what is going on? And feeding everyone alcohol. And it's, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's like, it can be like panic inducing on those kinds of days.
But when you say your life with her is flashing before your eyes, are you like, are there specific moments that you're revisiting, or are there like, are you actively like digging back up through like mementos or anything like that?
I just have like already had like a few pictures on my fridge of her. That I think speak to our relationship. I think for so long with like both my parents, I was like, you don't understand my life. You don't want to know about my life. There's this weird distance and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, sort of. But so now I'm like revisiting like that, like true, like love and desire I had for her, like when I was little. Like that was, which was kind of, I mean, we all like want our moms, but it was kind of, it felt a little specific to me, at least in terms of my siblings, where I was like obsessed with her. Like I was just like wanted her. I didn't want anyone else. And like the way she smelled, like her hands, just like, yeah, sort of like revisiting that feeling.
Yeah. How you doing?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird, I guess, because I think I only thought this sort of thing would happen when like she was like gonna die or something, you know, but it's just dealing with like her life and her mortality, and like where it's like, yeah, it just kind of reframes everything.
Does it feel like anything has been solved about the you guys don't understand me or my life stuff, or is it just like you sidestepped it?
I think I'm like, oh, that doesn't matter or something, or okay. Like, or sometimes I'm like, oh, that maybe this is an opportunity to like redraw that bridge or line. Sure. When you draw a bridge, does it go up?
right. We want to drawbridge to increase connection. Yeah.
Yeah. And just that love can look like just being there, even if you're not, you don't feel like, oh, I can tell you anything right now or something. That it's just like, we are close. Like, yeah, I think it's like revisiting like where our closeness comes from. Cause I feel like really like physically close to my mom, like, and sort of when we're together, like always these days, like revert to that kind of mommy and baby relationship. But I've always kind of been like that with her. So
So that's how you're thinking of her. Mm-hmm. How is it? Obviously, we don't have an end point to compare to past you, but how do you feel it? What's at stake in if this is a coma moment? Because my experience with this is that ultimately the coma is like a footnote to sobriety for me. Mm-hmm. And so I quit drinking as soon as I woke up in the hospital. But I quit smoking pot like 4 months later. Mm-hmm. And that was an active decision I had to make to like get me to the other side so that I could like choose to learn some lessons from this thing.
Right.
Otherwise, let it go by and be nothing.
Yeah.
And so what like not along like sobriety lines necessarily, but like what things are you choosing to focus on in terms of like who you want to be or like how, who this is making you, you know, like in what ways are you actively participating with the transformation process?
I think I'm realizing how my anxiety and my like about my like endeavors, my personal career, like life, work, whatever, that it's not as important as my relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's, and especially with, and yeah, especially with my family. I think before this, I would be like, oh yeah, like, you know, like my family is like not my, one of my top priorities or something.
Sure.
And I think also just like being able, again, like being able to relax into that and be like, I don't need every moment to be like working towards my personal goals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I need to relax into like people who know me and love me. So it's, yeah, still a process. And like, I'm finding that line too, because I'm like trying, you know, like I am an artist, so I'm trying to like stay on top of things. I've been I've generally just been having trouble staying on top of things lately, and I'm kind of like trying to be okay with that.
Yeah, what are the things you need to be on top of?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, releasing a single or releasing finding a podcast, la la la, whatever. And it's like those things are important to me, I think. Maybe I'm kind of like, are they? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Everything is kind of more up in the air, more. It's like the tectonic plates are shifting. So I don't really know what I will look like at the end. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make some sort of Pangea.
Oh, yes, Earth, yes, yes.
Pangea type thing. What kind of Pangea I will be, which isn't even
correct either. That's a good, that's the new, like, what color is your parachute sort of.
What's that?
You know that, like, business book? Like, it's just one of those like business, like personality test books of I haven't even read that one, but I think it's like, you're an adventurer or you're whatever. It's what kind of Pangea will you be? That can be your sort of branding. I'm trying to give you another career pursuit that you be anxious about and worry about staying on top of.
Thank you. Yeah.
No, I feel I have like spent a lot of the past several years, like relating to the depression more than the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just reminding me how much anxiety dominates my life, and like to the point where I've like completely normalized it. So the thing of like, I should be doing this, or like discomfort with sitting still, mm-hmm. For me, I forgot that that's anxiety. Yeah, I've just been right. like, oh, I have that thing where I'm always like that temperament or whatever it is.
Yeah. Or you just know? Like, oh, I shouldn't be sitting here. Or you like, yeah. you turn it into like a fact or a truth. Right. Or something.
And it yeah. really fucks with the human relationships thing, because the career stuff, there's an endless well of things to do mm-hmm. when it's like, ooh, how do I apply myself to being the best like partner or friend or whatever? It's like, there's not a lot of clear tasks to be done.
Right.
It's like, be present in this conversation. And I'm like, what? Yeah, like, yeah. What YouTube video can I watch to be present? You yeah, know?
Right.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, I should be like sending this text or checking in. Yes. Like when it becomes this kind of to-do list of how to be like a well-rounded person or something.
Right. Right.
You've lost the scent.
Yes.
So, but like, that's kind of how it's set up for us. I mean, or how capitalism
yeah.
has like made.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Have you noticed this, the feelings of these things and the stuff with your mom, has it been changing how you've pursued the other relationships in your life at all yet? Or is it still too early to tell that?
It's might be a little too early. It definitely made me pursue like my siblings more.
Mm-hmm.
Dad is still.
Are they still together?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I don't know. It's just with friendships. I think I'm taking like some pressure off of friendships, not in like a withdrawing way, but just like, I don't need anyone to be like an amazing friend to me. I don't need to be an amazing friend because, but I know I will be, and they will be. Like yeah. it's like yeah, I don't yeah, need yeah. to try to quantify that or something. Which, and I think some friends maybe feel that towards me, that they like are like, oh, am I being a good friend to Maria? Her mom has cancer.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
But it's like, sometimes I don't want to get a text that's like, how's your mom? Or someone asking, how's your yeah. mom? Because I'm not thinking about that. And then it's like, right. I have to be like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like.
Would it be more helpful if they just text like, your mom is going to die?
Yeah. Did a reality
forget,
check.
Don't forget your mom is sick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it is just, yeah, everything is kind of like the tectonic plates. It's like values. Are shifting or just mm-hmm. like, which I think is also coming with like age and you yeah. know that it's these things are not as important or like I'm enough of a person, I'm enough of a daughter, I'm enough of a friend, I'm enough of a sibling, you know, like
yeah, because the opposite is like, what do I need to be doing as a daughter or a friend or right. a sibling or whatever?
And that's definitely how I felt at the beginning, where I was like freaking out because I was like, I'm a bad daughter.
Are you good in a crisis? I feel
what
good.
Kind?
Well, like when something like needs to be done, I'm like, okay, what? Like, how can I do this? You know. But when the thing is like, live day-to-day nebulous. Life.
Yeah.
That's when I'm like,
yeah.
You know?
I don't know if I'm, I would say I'm mediocre in a crisis.
Okay.
Or maybe sometimes good, sometimes bad. I'm good. I've definitely like directed people from like spinning out in their car.
Okay.
In ice, so that's good.
You've directed people from spinning out? Like literally? Or
like,
is
yeah,
this a
like,
metaphor?
No.
Okay.
Literally, like, okay. My ex was driving and like we started we hit a patch of ice and it was like, oh, we're going. And he did sort of like a reach of like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, pop the brakes.
Yes,
pop the
brakes. Yes, yes.
And then
that seems we good. Stayed on the course. That seems good in one very specific crisis.
Yeah. Car. Yeah. Although other car stuff, I like freak the fuck out. Like, if anything, because I had a bunch of car problems and I was like, oh my God. Like, I do catastrophize. So maybe I'm not that good in a crisis.
Well, catastrophizing to me is a symptom of like, you're not in the crisis.
Oh, yeah. And you're then
when you're in the crisis, you've catastrophized so much that you're like,
I'm ready.
Oh, this is it. You know, yeah. It's, you're like a fucking emotional prepper or something like that.
Yeah.
That's the way I.
I have gotten a lot better in general at like perspective. So less like in the moment crisis, but more like, this isn't the worst thing, or, you know, like, I don't know, like things on tour or like traveling or just, I mean, with my car at a certain point, I was like, well, at least I didn't have to like scrap it right now.
Right.
You know, like, and like, at least I can drive it back home, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I've built up those muscles.
Do you have any regular religious or spiritual practices?
I wish.
Really?
I mean,
what do you wish? Is there like a vision of you that you imagine, or I'm like, I'm doing X thing?
That's a good question.
Thank you. And
mostly because like I'm in sort of this transitional moment of feeling like I've felt very like not having a handle on things and overwhelmed, and like, I wanted this one room in my house to be like my like work and meditation zone. And it like is kind of that, but not really. And I think I want to meditate more. I go through periods of meditation. I journal a lot. I would say like my most constant like self-reflective or spiritual practice is journaling.
Yeah.
Picking up the guitar. But it all feels very like, like just when I'm like kind of bored or like around the house, like too much coffee, like,
okay,
you know,
so you have a vision of like discipline with it or something.
Yeah. I think what I do want is like a routine.
Right.
Done
and
with
that
all.
Will fix everything.
And that will fix all the problems. Yeah. Yeah. And but that's hard too, because like I'm a bartender. So some nights I work really late and, you know, add like alcohol and whatever. It's all very. Although now at this point I have more of a set schedule, so we'll see. Yeah, you know, I want to like read more. You know,
we need to stop. This is turning into like making it worse for you.
That is the show. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you a million bucks. Thank you to Maria Jacobson for coming on. Go listen to her show, Godless, at beloved.wtf or at the links in the show notes. Thank you so much to Chaz Primack and Lake Mary, the house band of the show, for providing all the music. And go to patreon.com/Dave Marr. Get all the bonus stuff. Support the show. And until next week, remember, you are a mist.